how the chosen few DJs away on 63rd. But that, I think that that's the other element for people in Chicago, in the Black Latin gay community in Chicago, there are people who felt like it was a bit of an affront to what they were living and seeing. But again, I don't think that that was Steve's intention. But sometimes even the best intentions end up getting corrupted. And absolutely.
I was explaining to Connor, too, just to how things were so different 40 years ago. I was 10 years old at the time, but not in Chicago. That was my very first summer at North Star Camp, leaving for 8 weeks in mid-June, coming back in mid-August, as they still go now. And we knew something happened, but we were time-shifted by a week. Because it took for somebody to actually put a Tribune article in a letter and send it up to us. Obviously, counselors found out. There's like something happened, and you're getting all this stuff second and third hand. It's like, wait, my first thought was the White Sox had to forfeit a game? What the hell, man? And then you found out, and we got all of this game of telephone about what the hell happened. And it wasn't until I got home in August that I could actually read some of this stuff and hear some of the stuff about this incident, because it seemed so wild that you couldn't discern what was real, what some kids were making up, and what happened.
You know what, I figure, especially for a guy like me who didn't live through it, and comes from the background that I do anyway, I just, reading the article this morning and thinking about it a little bit, even listening to your perspective on it with your brother Lawrence, like, there's no harm in going back and reconsidering what an event did to a certain amount of people, or
sure,
a certain type of person, or a certain group of people, or whatever. You know how annoying it is to have somebody not listen to you?
Yes.
I think it's really, you know, people hate that. Humans hate not being listened to. So I try and consider it from that perspective. It's got to be really crappy who, like, for 20 years or 30 years, for a group of people to finally go, yes, and no one listened to us. Like, that has to suck. So I kind of think it's a responsibility of mine specifically, and probably other people, to just listen for a minute. Just listen to that other perspective.
Well, I think
like a hot minute.
The trick bag, though, for this, as far as the White Sox go, is there's a difference between acknowledging your history, commemorating your history,
and celebrating it. Yep. Yeah,
like that's where they're finding this to be a little bit of a landmine for them, because they do, and the White Sox do, like, they do have house music night. They do a lot of different things outside of the ballpark before you go in, and this is one of the things that the franchise is known for. So how do you balance the history of it and the commemoration of it with that line of maybe we shouldn't celebrate it? It's a really interesting conversation. It is a layered conversation that I think is having talked to people on a lot of different sides of this discussion, it's interesting to get that perspective. And I will implore you, I've been telling everyone this, Connor, because Dan's not coming, but Connor, you are someone, if I invite you to Hyde Park, you're not coming. So I just know that already.
You know I'm coming.
But
I love Hyde Park.
Whatever. But I know that Connor will at least consider it. Silver Room Block Party, July 20th, up and down 53rd Street.
I have a wedding.
Come, damn it.
It's like literally the one day in July I have committed.
All right, well then maybe I'll invite you to the Chosen Few picnic.
That
I'd go. And you can come down and see what's happening there.
It's been a while. I need to get down.
You might want to get down before they start putting the buildings up.
What?
You know.
What are they doing?
Well, you know, the Obama people just kind of came in and said, oh, eminent domain. We're just going to tear this park up here on 63rd and Stony. We're just going to lay down this plot of land before the judge says it's okay.
And you're telling me people in Hyde Park have a problem with that? I can't believe it.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting struggle.
Don't take my stuff.
It'll be an it because we saved the point and we'll do whatever. Like, we're an interesting breed down there because you had folks, the University of Chicago type folks that love Hyde Park, like going to the point back in the day when Rahm was trying to, Mayor Daley and Rahm were trying to gentrify it. And they were like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like chain to a tree. Yes. So that there wouldn't be any Meg's Field nonsense happening over there.
I'm also told, Teddy Greenstein told me to play South Shore, which I have not done. I played Jackson Park, but he said South Shore is the spot.
So yeah.
I'm going to make a trip down there relatively soon and give that a go.
Well, they're supposedly, Tiger Woods is thinking about connecting the two.
That project, I've heard that. Not doing great.
That's what I heard, too.
That's going great.
It's a little difficult. There's a lot of landmass that you have to navigate, and people live there. It's a whole thing. Gentlemen, thanks for the great discussion. I appreciate it. That is Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight. You can hear them every day, 9 a.m. until noon, right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR in HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, a radio.com sports station. And this hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Football. Hey, check them out. They are back. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as number 17 Northwestern hosts Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets are on sale now at NUSports.com. And this hour is being brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Why are you not interested?
I don't have any vested interest in the sport in general. I mean, if the Blackhawks are in it, then of course I'll watch.
Obviously.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know.
You would be required to.
I don't know anybody on the team. I don't know the coaches. Is anybody doing something cool?
I'm actually rooting for the Blues if I have to declare a rooting interest because I'm tired of Boston.
But the flip side is, do you give the St. Louis people the satisfaction of having the Stanley Cup?
Well, I'm not going to win in baseball, so you might as well.
Ooh. See, I like that. A little cross-sport crackback from a Rick Camp.
Make me a bicycle clown!
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock today. That's right. We got our full show back today after yesterday, and we have a lot of stuff that is going to go on the show. I'm excited for you to hang out with us for the next 2 hours because we got some cool stuff. For example, Scott Merkin of WhiteSox.com, MLB.com, is going to join me at 12:40. He wrote a piece that I think that you will find interesting, our discussion about it, because it connects two rising stars in Chicago. I'll get to that with him at 12:40. At 1 o'clock, Mark Schanowski of NBC Sports Chicago is going to jump in. We are going to talk about the NBA Finals in Game 6, and we'll talk a little bit about the Bulls. I'm going to try not to spend too much time talking about the Bulls. On top of that, Tony Gill watched hockey last night and was engaged with people on Twitter watching a Game 7. We are going to get his report on what he learned. And I am going to ask him to pronounce in a Stanley Cup winning Blackhawks name, because I'm almost certain he can't do it. And it came up in discussion on Twitter last night. And he already looked at me kind of doughy-eyed today and was like, so who's this guy that you were talking about? We'll explain coming up a little bit later on. But first, we start the show as we start all things with a rundown.
Run them down.
The rundown.
Yes, let's talk about what we're going to discuss on today's show. In the rundown, we go through some of the stories that are going to be presented to you in a couple of different ways here on the show. We will start in Boston, Game 7, Stanley Cup Final. And it's over. The Blues have won it.
10 seconds to go. The longest wait for a first title any team in this league has had. For the first time in their history, the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah, they are. Highlights courtesy of NBC. They are Stanley Cup champions, and I learned some stuff about the Blues and the Blackhawks that, quite honestly, I didn't know on last night's broadcast, which we'll talk about later on in the show. It's a tradition unlike any other. When Gary Bettman comes out, even if he's presenting the cup, he's getting booed.
Captain Alex Petrangelo, St. Louis has been waiting a long time for this. Come get the Stanley Cup.
One brief pose, and then it will go high in the air. A
dream realized for him and then all of his teammates.
Yep. They got their cup. Ryan O'Reilly was your Conn Smythe winner.
The Conn Smythe Trophy is awarded to the most valuable player in the playoffs. This player is tied as leading scorer for the playoffs and the leading scorer for the Stanley Cup Final. Ryan O'Reilly, come get the Conn Smythe Trophy.
Ryan O'Reilly being congratulated by his teammates and now comes to receive the Conn Smythe Trophy.
It took me back to 2010 with the Blackhawks winning the Cup. And I remember Jonathan Toews winning the Conn Smythe Trophy. And I remember thinking at the time, had there been a garbage can, Jonathan Toews would have thrown the Conn Smythe Trophy into the garbage can. He wanted the cup. Get out of my way with this individual award, which I earned. I want that cup, and I want to skate around the rink with it. I'm convinced to this day. I'm convinced that had there been a garbage can, to this day, had there been a garbage can on the ice, Jonathan Toews would have thrown the Conn Smythe Trophy into the garbage. On to the NBA, and don't worry, we got our recap from Tony coming up. We're going to do that hockey. I promise you that. In the NBA, there is a Game 6 tonight out in the Bay Area. Steve Kerr says, after all the talking about what's happened with Kevin Durant, who did have his surgery on his Achilles, that he does not regret playing him.
Now, would we go back and do it over again? Damn right. But that's easy to say after the results. When we gathered all the information, our feeling was the worst thing that could happen would be a re-injury of the calf, and that was the advice and the information that we had. And at that point, once Kevin was cleared to play, he was comfortable with that. We were comfortable with that. So the Achilles came as a complete shock.
Okay. I'm not sure I buy it. As much as I love Steve Kerr, I don't know if any of us who were watching thought of it as a complete shock, because most of us were like, oh, that guy had injured his Achilles before. So it wasn't that shocking, at least not to me, and probably not to you as well. If I were Steve Kerr, and I'm not as smart or handsome or as good at basketball as he is, I might have some regret about the usage of Kevin Durant. Because they were out there playing him like he was 100% healthy. And I think everyone knew that that wasn't the case. Game 6 tonight, we will have a breakdown with Mark Schanowski coming up at 1 o'clock. Now on to baseball. Yesterday out in Denver, it was fun. The Cubs did their job scoring a whole bunch of runs.
Hayward lines one, center field base hit. One run is in. Caratini will be held. Nope, he's going to score now. The ball bobbled in center by Desmond. Cubs lead 2-0.
Here's the stretch and the pitch on the way to Schwarber. Hit high in the air. Deep right field. Back toward the wall. It's got a chance. Gone. Get out the tape measure for Kyle Schwarber. Up into the seats. Above the bullpen in right center. Cubs lead 5-0.
This one is lined. It'll drop in. Base hit in a left center field. One run is in. Two runs are in. And the throw to third gets Caratini. No, he dropped the ball. The third baseman McMahon dropped the ball. The umpire at third, Gary Cederstrom, was ready to ring him up, but McMahon could not hang on to the ball. So the Cubs have runners at the corners on the two-run single by Cole Hamels.
So the Cubs did their job. They scored 10 runs in the game. They won the game 10-1. Inside the game, there was a lot of crap. There's a lot of guys getting hit with baseballs.
And here is Arenado batting. And look out, Arenado gets hit by the pitch. Arenado looking out at Hamels. Arenado now looking over at the Cubs' third base dugout. Arenado thought it was intentional. The 2-1 from Brian Shaw. Inside, and Hamels gets hit by the pitch. He got hit in the foot, and Cole runs down to first. That one looked a little bit suspicious.
Well, there's no doubt that the Rockies guys don't like that Arenado got hit and knocked out of the game, just like Cubs guys didn't like that. KB got drilled twice, and that's a cutter, a slider down and in, thrown behind him where you go after it, and that's, you know, one way of hitting a guy but not making it overly obvious.
Now Rizzo gets hit by a pitch, and this thing is starting to get a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah, that's out of hand. I definitely don't know why they hit Riz. You know, this has been one of those things now where, you know, that just doesn't make much sense. They hit Hamels in the leg with a cutter, and that was, say what you want, but that was intentional. The ball missed the strike zone by, I don't know, 3 or 4 feet.
Big right-hander Brock kicks and brings it, and getting hit by the pitch is Walters. Walters just puts the bat down and trots to first. Another hit batsman. We have seen four men get drilled by pitches today, two on each side.
Highlights courtesy of The Score. Rizzo had he gets hit a lot. We know that because of his proximity to the plate when he's in the batter's box. But yesterday you could tell that he didn't like what was happening.
No, you think he got smoked to me. It's annoying getting hit in general when things aren't intentional. It is what it is. We just move on.
Nolan Arenado got hit. He was jawing at Cole Hamels, saying that where he was expecting to get hit, but where he got hit was too high on his body. Here's what Arenado had to say.
Listen, I mean, we hit Brian twice yesterday. Buzz by his tower there, 1-1 pitch. So I kind of had a feeling it was going to happen. It's just, I just thought it was high. That was it.
Did you have a feeling it might be you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually that's what happens. Best player gets it. Now, enjoy Cole Hamels acting like he ain't know nothing right here.
For what it's worth, Arenado says he kind of expected it. Does he not have faith in your control, or are you surprised to hear that?
Yeah, surprised. I'm just trying to get guys out. I think ultimately, you know, we're just trying to win, and I know the damage that he can do when he gets the ball out over the plate. So it's, you know, trying to pick a spot. And, you know, unfortunately, it just, you know, goes where it's unintended to be a pitch that, you know, you don't want to see that, and you definitely don't want guys to get injured.
Right. Why? Here's my thing about baseball and plunking guys. Why we gotta lie about it? We all know what it was. We saw it and we kind of accept it, I guess. We don't have to lie about it. Let's not lie about it. Let's call it what it is. And maybe if we called it what it is, we would figure out that it was silly.
Marshawn Lynch knows why they don't.
Why not?
They don't want to get fined.
Yeah, obviously, you don't want to get fined. But, I mean, come on. Like, if we're big boys, then let's be big boys. Like, yeah, it was intentional. I enjoyed, and that'll conclude the rundown for today. I enjoyed the way that the Cubs approached this. I really, really did. And we need to take a break, but I want to explain to you why, okay? So we'll take a break, and when we come back, I'll explain to you why I really got a kick out of the way the Cubs went about getting retaliation. It's the way it should be done. I'll explain next here on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight, 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
Theo Epstein. I wonder if there was a whole lot of contact prior to the season with Kimbrel.
A little bit different dynamic this winter. Kimbrel wasn't attainable for us. Once a couple things changed on our end and his market started to come into an area that was more realistic for us, it became just clear. It was such a unique opportunity.
Listen to Bernstein and McKnight, 9 to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports Minute. It's a fact that Americans love to cheer for their national teams, regardless of sport. And it's also true that the U.S. national women's soccer team, the number one ranked team in the world and defending World Cup champions, has given Americans plenty to cheer about. The U.S. did not need to beat Thailand 13-0. Forget the hollow excuse that goal differential matters. The chances that the U.S. isn't going to qualify for knockout play are about the same as Stephen Curry losing a free throw shooting contest. To me. Just as hollow was Coach Jill Ellis saying, "The way you respect an opponent is to play hard." There are plenty of ways, especially in soccer, to call off the dogs without making it look like taking a knee. Worst of all, the U.S. scored 6 goals in the last 20 minutes and celebrated them wildly. Not an appealing image for any of us. I'm John Feinstein.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the Father's Day sale at Ace. Hurry in and save hundreds on Dad's favorite brands like Milwaukee, DeWalt, Craftsman, Traeger, and Yeti. Plus, Ace has an extensive lineup of steel outdoor power tools, so you can be sure to find something you'll love. And save time when you buy online and pick up in store. Make this Father's Day one that Dad will always remember, with great gifts from the best brands. All at your local Ace. Offers valid on select items at participating stores through June 17th. See store for details.
Hi, it's Flo. And you know what word I don't get? Shampoo. The first half of the word is sham, and the second part you definitely don't want to see in the shower. That's why I made up a neat word, Flotection. The feeling of security you get when your new house is protected by home insurance through me and Progressive. I mean, seriously, shampoo? What part of that?